return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to a service at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's go into the sanctuary, and here's today's message.
Our God is an awesome God.
Take your Bibles. You got your Bible with you? Say it with me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love the video and just seeing how God is working in young people in the supernatural, seeing His heart. In America, if something supernatural happened, people would want to write books and tell everybody about it and so forth. And He's cleaning toilets and He's doing work around the church, and He's a servant of the Most High God. He is like Samuel in the Old Testament. And He's truly one of those people who's laboring in the kingdom for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are we on to back there in the thing? All right. So we welcome anybody joining us in this country or other nations and so forth. We bless you in the name of Jesus. If you're joining us from India, we bless you in Jesus' name. Or African countries or Europe, we bless you and thank God for your lives. And know that Jesus loves you very, very much, cares for you. Amen. Amen. So a couple weeks ago, we just shared about love in action. And love, of course, is one of those fruits of the Spirit. But love, a fruit grows on a vine or a tree. John 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. So he's the main vine. Now we're branches. And so from Him, God is love, of course, and from Him, love grows on us. If you're attached to the source of love, which is Jesus Christ, you will produce love. Sometimes people in their lives, they find themselves maybe impatient or angry or upset. And a key is attaching yourself to the source, to the vine, attaching yourself to Jesus. Jesus helps, all of us have had an old life, but Jesus helps us to overcome those things that would cause us maybe to be short-tempered or upset or angry or anything like that, and cause us then, Jesus causes us to be loving. Religion is judgmental, vindictive, hateful, all those things. Jesus is the opposite. Jesus is love, and He's full of grace. Now, the thing is, when we talk about fruit, we're talking about producing a product, a harvest and stuff. Any farmer wants to produce more crop every year, right? And John 15, again, Jesus said, you're pruned through the word. The pruning, He helps us to grow in love so that we can produce more, what? More love. He's interested in producing in us more love. Say more love. Turn to your neighbor and say, love people. You've got to love people, right? Everybody. You've got to love people you don't like. You've got to love people that you think are unlikable and so forth. So He is interested in increasing the yield so that there's a bigger crop coming in our lives. Now, when we are in the world, we're all around people that can be challenge us. They sometimes make you irritable, people you work with or something like that. Sometimes we're praying to get out of situations because of something, somebody we don't like or something. And yet, rather than praying to get out of something, I think lots of times, out of a difficult relationship, God wants to change us as much as he wants to change them. We're always praying, Lord, change them, Lord, change them. And really, we should turn that prayer around. Lord, change me to be like you. Boy, if the world ever needs to see Jesus, it's now. And the only way the world's going to see Jesus is through his people. It's the only way the world's going to see Jesus. I mean, people act like it's preaching the word and this and that. And that's all good. But they're going to see Jesus through his love that comes through people. Amen. Amen? So he wants to change us so we can be like him. Amen? In Old Testament, you know, we have commandments and stuff. But you can just write this down. We didn't put this on the screen. But John 13, 34, 35, Jesus gives commandments. And the command is to love one another. The command is to love other people. A new commandment I give unto you, that you should love one another as I have loved you. Now, when people act in the carnal flesh and so forth, they don't have a revelation of the love of God. They don't have a revelation of how much they've been loved or how much they've been forgiven. That's the sad thing when someone becomes a Christian and then forgets where they've come from and then becomes to point other people, point out all their sins or whatever. No, we're here to love people. Love covers sin. Love isn't out there to expose people and bring harshness. Love is out there to bring the grace of Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, I'm going to give you a command. This isn't a suggestion. It's not like, you know, if I feel led, I'll do that. It isn't like any of that. It's all there for you and I in the rawness of it to say, you need to love people. And Jesus said, it's by this love they're going to know you're my disciples. He didn't say because of the preaching. He didn't say because of the miracles. He didn't say because of other circumstances. He's talking about the power of love. We so many times diminish it, but it's very, very important to understand that the nature of his love and how much that love transmits to other people. Part of that love is just being nice, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, be nice. Don't be harsh. Don't be mean. Just be a nice person. Be a nice person. Be a gracious person. You know, it goes from our homes to our families to people you work with to people here. So we have these commands. These are commands that he gives us. And he says, by this they'll know that you are my disciples. Wow. All right, today, Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn there in our Bibles, which talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All the fruit begins with love. All the fruit begins with love. So the fruit of the Spirit, and he starts with the very first thing, is love. Out of that proceeds everything else. The joy, the peace, the long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, temperance, all those things proceed from love. Love is like the catalyst for everything else to happen. Catalyst is a chemical word. Let's put it this way. Love is like the fertilizer for things to grow. So you have to take love in your life and fertilize your life, fertilize your actions, fertilize the things you're doing so that it produces more of what? The character of Jesus Christ. God's interested in character. You know, people talk about gifts and all that. Gifts are like the spectacular. You can take a beautiful house. It can just be just beautiful. I mean, all the trimmings and so forth like that. But the key to that house is what you don't see, and it's the foundation. Yeah. Gifts are given, but love is one of those things that you grow, and it's a foundational thing. Yeah. So you have to have love down in your heart. People don't see it. They might not look outwardly much, but they feel it. So a house built on the foundation of Jesus Christ is built on his love. If it's not there, you can have all the gifts and all the spectacular things and all the stuff that gets the attention, but pretty soon you're going to notice cracks in the wall, all right? Doors that don't work right anymore, all the things like that, because things start shifting and things aren't solid and so forth in the place. 1 Corinthians 13, you don't hear people talk about this much, but let's look at it. I can speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Let me just say this. Much of Pentecostalism is sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, because they base their doctrine on just tongues and forget about the character and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let's just be honest. Amen? Sounding brass, ting-ling-ling-ling-ling-ling, gets a lot of attention. We do this, we do this, we do this. Okay, but what about the real relationship of Jesus? What about the hardcore thing of love? Yeah, I'd love to pray in tongues. Paul says I pray in tongues more than all of you. Wonderful to do that. But a key in that, a key is the love of Jesus. In other words, if we truly say we're Spirit-filled people, we should be the most loving people on the planet. And yet you find in churches, Pentecostal churches, Spirit-filled churches, you find harshness, criticalness, judgmentalism. All of those things that do not denote any part of the Holy Spirit. So a lot of times if we're in our Bibles, which we recommend reading our Bible all the time, then the Bible is a mirror to your life. And it shines into your life to say, oh yeah, I've got to grow here. Oh yeah, I've got to learn in this area. Oh yeah, I've got to change my attitude. Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah, right? Because otherwise you can speak in all the tongues, but if you don't have love, then it says you're just like you're clanking cymbal. Ding, 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 you know. Which means nothing. Produces nothing. And you go on from there. And these are lights to shine, especially into the charismatic community. Because it's the charismatics that claim all these things, all right? Baptists aren't claiming these things. But the charismatic community is claiming these things. You can have the gift of prophecy. You can understand all mysteries, all knowledge. Have all faith to move mountains. But then when it says this, it says, but if you have not love, it says, I'm nothing. So the first one is just kind of like activity and so forth. The second one is like a show. I've said this before, you know, I've known a lot of different ministers and so forth, and people with prominent ministries. They don't want to come out in the worship. They don't want to talk to people. They don't want to see people afterwards. Just parade me out when it's my time to talk. I'll talk, and then parade me off the platform. They love a crowd but don't like people. That's not Jesus Christ. There is no love there. That ministry is empty. People can say, wow, look at the ministry. Wow, look at all that. All empty. It's all empty. It will not produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It will not produce Jesus in people. Amen. In fact, it's just the opposite. People come away like, that's what I want. I want to do those things. I'm going to be this and this. But to love others? No, no, no. No, wait a minute now. Serve others? Oh, no, no, no. That's somebody else's job. So when you look at this, you have to look in the mirror, especially now, Pentecostals, Charismatics, got to look in the mirror on this. Isn't that right? Yeah. So then he goes on from there. He says, I could bestow all my goods to feed the poor. I could do all these things. I could have all these works. Give my body to be burned. I could be martyred. But if I have not love, it profits me nothing. In other words, there's all this self-discipline. I'm going to do this and this and this, and I deserve this, and look at who I am, and it's all emptiness. So what it comes down to, do you want to speak in tongues? Yes. Do you want to have faith, walk in the prophetic? Yes. Do you want to be a giver? Yes. But it's with this attitude of Jesus and loving people, caring about people. It's not about having a service. It's not about having a ministry. It's all about having a people. That's having loving people. That's why Jesus, you know, it wasn't like he was looking for a crowd. he'd say, let's just go over here. And they're thinking, oh, we got all this revival. Yeah, we're going to go to the next village. And he'd go over and minister to one person. Find one person, minister to that person. Just carrying the love of Jesus. Oh, we have somebody else we need to meet. Oh, it's this person over here. But we could have a crowd here. Now, I'm not concerned about the crowd. See, the love of God flowed through him to others, and others are, of course, blessed, right? Verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13 says that love never fails. So love is like this anchor for everything that we do. We love God, we love people. It never fails. It's the anchor. So what we do in our lives, we want to do out of a love for Jesus and out of a love for people. Why would I want to give something to somebody? Well, it should be because of love. Not because of show or because I have to. No, because of love. Go to the last part of 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 13 says that there's faith, hope, and love. These three, the greatest of these is love. Love is like the key to life. It's the greatest. But it doesn't sound spectacular, does it? But it's the key. It's the key to the Spirit-filled life. It's the key to the abundant life. It's the key to this relationship with Jesus. It's all about this love of God. What he does in us. And then he says, freely you've received, I want you to freely give it away. Remember the scriptures in Matthew and Luke and so forth like that. And remember the scripture says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And people use it in the offerings all the time. And the context of all that is loving people. Has nothing to do with money. Has everything to do with the character of God and giving love to other people. Give and it shall be given to you. That's the context of it. We love to take a little soundbite out and this is the offering that you give and money will come to you. No, there's nothing about that. It's all about this nature of God who is love. I'm growing all the time in this. It's a fun adventure. And I mean, I'm older in my life and so forth. Yet these are the things that are really important. So the spectacular gets the attention, but love must be the foundation. Okay, Galatians 5. Faith works by love, right? So there's not circumcision or uncircumcision, not the natural, not the law or anything. Faith works through love. So love is the motivating factor in ministry. Why would Jesus spend hours and hours and days just praying for people? In the one case, prior to feeding the 4,000 or 5,000, they'd been with him for 3 days. Why would he spend all this time doing this? Except for the fact that he loved these people. He wasn't looking to get a big article in the Jerusalem Post. He wasn't looking to be interviewed on the Jerusalem, TV network, or anything like that. Spending all this time out there. The disciples, I'm sure, were very, very tired. And yet, the motivating factor is love. Faith works by love. I've seen ministers just thinking, well, we can just get another healing. Boy, it'll be a breakthrough in my ministry. And I'm thinking, a breakthrough in your ministry? I thought this was all about Jesus. It's not about a breakthrough in your ministry or my ministry or a breakthrough in your life. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about loving people. Why? Because he said to do that. Purely because he said to do that. Purely because he gave us a command to do that. It's not loving people that you like, especially loving people you don't like. Liking the unlikables. We're in an election year and so forth, and what's snaring a lot of the body of Christ is all the election whirlwinds and so forth, and people are taking the sides and casting judgment. It's like, all wrong, wrong, wrong. Amen. If someone opens their Bible, they're going to see a God who loves people and cares about people, who's going to speak life. Not the other. Galatians 5, verse 13, just go on, it says, by we've been called to live. So we have this freedom, of course. But it's not an opportunity for the flesh. It says to love, serve one another. So love brings serving. Love brings the fact, okay, what can I do to bless them? What can I do to help them? What can I do to make them feel special? You know, we have pastors' conferences and Women Alive conferences. Those started in the late 90s and so forth, and an idea that came to me and Jeannie and so forth. But one of the things that makes our conferences unique is this, is that we have times of fellowship. That we have specific times we're going to plan things where pastors will talk face-to-face in fellowship, where times where we give them food, times where we provide for them, all those things to do what? To serve them. The whole thing's about serving. Now, we have pastors that say, oh, no, this is more important. We don't need that coffee break. Let's do this. I said, no, we're going to have the coffee break. We're going to have that. Why? Because that's part of the ministry. Just as important as you saying something else in your message or whatever, we're going to have that. See, it's tailored. It's all tailored. 55 conferences, all tailored to serve people. Same with Women Alive. We serve. We help out in the back. We're always doing things to serve. Always doing things to help others. What's the motivating factor? It is love. Because if someone is loved and appreciated and so forth, their heart can be touched. Their life can be changed. Or ministry can be changed. Amen. It's not about statistics. It's not about people having bigger ministries and so forth. No, that'll all happen for some people and so forth. But the motivating factor is the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. A lot of people just miss it. You know, they're just here, you know, and so forth. But they want to do their thing and stuff. It's like, no, we're not going to do your thing. We're going to do the Jesus thing. It's what makes what we do here different. We're not about making spectacular ministry. We're about serving people. Everything we do, from the time someone comes in the door or whatever, it's all about serving people. Conferences is about serving people. Blessing ministries. Some get it, some don't get it. It doesn't matter, but it's all Jesus. It's all Jesus' heart. Preachers like the spotlight, but love is the real key in serving and ministering to people. Amen. People like a prayer line. Hey, that's wonderful. But what about just praying for people where they're at? If we're someplace or so forth, we'll pray for people wherever they're at. Right? Before meeting, during a meeting, after a meeting, it doesn't matter. On the street, coming out of a house. Jesus never said, go someplace and preach. He said, as you go, preach. So remember, if you remember us coming, walking down this way in the dark and so forth, and this lady reaching out to grab my hand, that's ministry. What is it time for? It's time to smile. It's time to bless somebody. It's time to stop. There's opportunities around us all the time to love people. And aside from loving people, is to serve people. You know, that's the whole thing in life. Paul wasn't concerned so much about titles as he was about ministering to people. Amen. Romans 1:1, all right? He identified as a servant. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Called to be an apostle. But identified also, the key factor is a servant. Because, folks, that is Jesus. That is Jesus. Philippians 1:1. Again, Paul reiterates. And he says here, he says, a prisoner of Jesus Christ to Timothy and so forth, beloved friend and fellow laborer. Titus 1:1. Bondservant of God, apostle of Jesus Christ. All right? So he identified himself again and again and again as a servant, as opposed to the title like, I'm the apostle. I get all these things from different ministries and so forth. And, of course, the beginning of the year, the apostles meet and all the things like that. And they want to publish what they hear. And, of course, most of the time they're wrong. I keep notes. The prophetic. We have a prophetic word for this year. And most of the time they're wrong. They miss it. They don't. If you go back at the end of the year, no one ever talked about COVID. No one ever talked about a government shutdown. No one ever talked about all the other. No, all the big hitters and so forth. And we had our meeting and folks, now the real key of ministry again is people. Let's bring it right down to your house. How do you treat your spouse? How do you treat your spouse? Some ministers are a big kingpin in a platform, and their marriage relationship is like hell. Because they're not going to serve. I'm thinking, pardon me? Pardon me? Or I think, what'd you say to your wife? See, the rubber meets the road in life, believe me. And love is the factor that makes the catalyst, that makes all these things happen and causes us to want to serve others. In the process, remember Stephen and Philip and those were waiting on tables. They were serving in Acts 6. They were serving, chosen out to serve, and yet miracles happen. Why? They're just loving people. They go to a house, I call it like Holy Ghost Meals on Wheels, and delivering food, and then someone's sick and they pray for them. Miracles begin to happen all over the place. But it was all propagated by the love of Jesus Christ. They were there to serve, not to be served. Matthew 25, these great verses here. He says, well done, you good and faithful servant. In your bulletin, look in the back of the bulletin, you've got that. This, on the back there, it says, doesn't say, well done, good and faithful pastor, or bishop, or evangelist, or apostle, or preacher, or missionary, teacher, or worship leader. It says, well done, you good and faithful servant. Yeah. That's always the key. Why is that the key? Because that is the heart of Jesus Christ. He came to serve and not to be served. He came to give his life for others. That is Jesus. Actually, you can say, well, Jesus was the apostle of the church. Yep, sure is. He's the head of the church. Yep, sure is. But above all that, and the identity that we claim is that we're a servant. Mark chapter 9, we just got a few minutes here. Mark chapter 9 says the disciples were talking. Jesus says, what did you dispute among yourselves in the road? Jesus is always pretty perceptive, you know. So he's walking along, and he hears them yakking behind him and talking back and forth and so forth. And they kept silent. From the road, they disputed who would be the greatest. It's human nature to want attention. It's human nature to want the best ministry. It's human nature for people to know, I'm anointed. That's human nature. Look at the disciples. They're all talking, who's the greatest? Who's done the most? Who should get the most respect, remember? All right, James and John, remember, it was the mama wanted to sit at the right hand of the Father and so forth. And Jesus, so they're disputing who would be the greatest. Who's going to have the greatest ministry? And Jesus says, if anyone desires to be first, he should be last of all and servant of all, which is like this huge pill to swallow. And folks, quite frankly, most of the body of Christ just doesn't get it. Most of the body of Christ is on tangents of building their ministry and building their churches and building their things. And there's nothing wrong with preaching, of course, and praying and all that, except the foundational part of things is loving people and serving people. That's the foundational part. Look at Mark chapter 10. We go on another chapter there. And they're talking. Jesus says, the Gentiles, those that are leaders, they rule over them. The great ones exercise authority. But it shall not be so amongst you. Whoever desires to be great shall be your servant. Whoever of you desires to be first shall be a servant of all. Even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Think about that. We know the Gentiles. You know the world. They want the authority. They want the attention. They want all the things like that. And then Jesus said, hey, I came to serve. I came to serve. There's the stuff in the automobile. Just one point over. One in the automobile industry and so forth. There's a disconnect. You have the people in the high towers. You know, they're making all the corporate decisions and so forth. And then they're handing stuff down to the people that work the assembly lines. And then producing maybe vehicles that don't work so well. And why is that? Well, the person on the assembly line is thinking, you know, if they change this, it would be better. But of course, the person in the ivory tower isn't going to listen to somebody who's working the assembly line. But then you take people from other cultures and they do this. They put all their supervisors and so forth on the assembly line. And they're on the assembly line with all the workers. So they're down there with all them and everybody, hey, good idea, we'll change that. Good idea, we'll change that. And then people wonder why are we not producing what we should and why are we falling back and so forth? All because of leadership. It's all because of leadership principles. Jesus taught leadership principles that if you want to do things right, you'll do it His way, you'll serve, and what happens? You're going to have a better product. The church's product is Jesus Christ. It is the love of God. And I can only produce that if I'm attached to Him and if I do it His way. You know, with all our conferences and so forth, not like we have a big reputation or anything, but on the other hand, we all know what we're doing in serving leaders and helping people, even serving women, helping women. You know, there's a lot of men who don't want to serve women. There's a lot of men who kind of, that's someone, I'm not going to serve women. You know? Oh, that's very important. That's very important. Your wife should be, if you're married, your wife should be a crown to you. It's very important to serve. Very important, even in our house, we do service things. Mm-hmm. Why is that important? Because of our relationship, which is the... People can say, well, making coffee for your wife is like a big service thing. No, it isn't.
Every morning.
It's a service thing. It's a service thing. It's things you do for each other, helping each other out. If her week is busy, not hard for me to pick up a vacuum cleaner. Not hard for me to pick up other stuff and do it. It's a service thing. Say service.
He does dishes too.
It's the love. Yeah, look at that. My hand. Dishpan. You know, it's all. People actually forget this is all Jesus.
Gives me a bowl of ice cream too.
This is all Jesus. Okay, what do you got to say here? What do you got to say?
I want to say thank you. How many need this sermon today? Oh, all over the room. I sure do. So a while back in one of the verses, I want to say this publicly, is that when we love like Jesus, we're not going to get our feelings hurt so easily.
Yeah.
Come on now. Am I talking to you?
Yeah.
This is something I had to really work on. I remember when Dave and I we had just met. Anyway, remember your car?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, okay. He had this beautiful new car. I'd never been in a new car before, but anyway, okay, I'm sidetracked.
Go ahead.
When I had to learn not to get my feelings hurt. I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
You know, and when we love, we don't pick up the offense. Come on, everyone, write
yep.
that down.
Yep.
Don't yep. pick up the
Don't
offense.
Don't pick up the offense.
Whether it's a roommate, whether it's
yep.
in marriage,
yep.
whether it's at work.
Yep.
Or in the ministry.
Yeah.
Refuse to be offended.
Yeah. Amen.
It's a beautiful freedom.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus never got his feelings hurt. Think about that.
Yeah.
It's impossible for him to have his feelings hurt because then he would have been self-centered. Let's just
yeah.
say it the way it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I want to say today. And I feel it ties in beautifully with love. Quit getting your feelings hurt.
Yeah.
And usually when you do get your feelings hurt, a typical thing is you don't go to that person. Well, you really hurt my feelings the way you said that or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you go to someone else and you go blah, 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 blah. And so let's just grow up.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Yeah.
The
mature.
New Testament talks about being mature, getting
yeah.
mature
yeah.
in the faith.
Yeah.
And most of us have been around a while. So let's let go of offense. And I'm going to give this back to you, but let's just all declare together. Go ahead, put your right hand in the air and say with me, I refuse
to be offended.
I let go
of any offenses.
I'm free.
In Jesus' name.
Shout amen.
Amen. Okay. Amen. All right, couple more minutes. Let's look at John 13 a second. People see Jesus washing the disciples' feet and so forth, and he said, I gave you an example, which just means it's an example of service. And the service just means as I've done serving, whatever the task is, however big or small, just do what I've done. All right? It isn't just washing feet. That's cultural, but it's serving others. But notice the precursor to it. The Father, Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hand. All right? So Jesus knows now that his ministry here is being complete. Everything is given into his hand, the creator of the universe, all those things. He knows who he is, all that stuff. So here's this huge, huge, huge ministerial thing that he knows. All is given into his hands. He came from God. He's going to God. And Jesus gets up from the dinner table, lays aside his garments, girds himself, and begins to wash feet. So knowing he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, creator of the universe, I think I'll serve these people. I think I'll serve these people that have been around me and bless them and give them an example. It's huge. It's huge. I mean, knowing all that, and he washes their feet. You know, I mean, again, the little boy you saw in the thing. And he's had a visitation from the Lord. He sees into the spirit realm. And he's really happy to clean toilets. And he's really happy to be a servant in the church, just like Samuel. Powerful. So the Bible says in Mark 13, there's a word in here. Going to a far country, leaves his house, gave authority to each his work. I think everybody has a work, let's say it this way, a responsibility. We have a responsibility to serve in some capacity. Amen? In some capacity. We all have a responsibility to serve. Here's the thing on volunteers in your bulletin and so forth. But you can see in the back, you know, we can have all kinds of excuses like, I don't have time, I don't know what to do, I don't have any special skills to contribute, they don't need me. You know, it says the Lord doesn't call the equipped, he equips the call. There's a lot of things, folks, in life, it's plain and simple. It doesn't take a lot of talent. It takes a willing heart. That's all it takes. It takes a willing heart. People help here at the church. God bless those that help. And some of you ladies have helped. Thank you so much that help, have contributed and so forth. People do things. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. You know, again, we have many, many speakers and so forth. And yet, then we have, when we had Dave Spolam's memorial service, and person after person after person after person gets up to say how their life was impacted. And they were impacted because of love. They were impacted because he served. They were impacted because of the things that he did. You know, with students, faculty, people, that could have gone on a long time of people just talking. That was a tremendous witness. Amen. We've had other funerals. We've had funerals of ministry, and people get up and tell corny jokes and so forth like that. And it's like, wow. Just, you know, it was kind of amazed. Wasn't that great at all. Here is somebody, quote unquote, is not a preacher, and yet the impact of their life affected an entire community. Races, cultures, and so forth like that. So write this down, all right? Took volunteers to prepare for Palm Sunday. Hello. It's the Passover, so you got all this big meal to prepare. This isn't like having a peanut butter sandwich, folks. They got a big meal to prepare and so forth. They're preparing Passover. Took a lot of volunteers. And Jesus said, hey, got to have some of you people prepare this. Not just the upper room, like, oh, we'll set the table. No, there's a whole Passover meal, which is significant, had to be prepared. feeding the 4,000, the 5,000 took volunteers. You didn't have just a handful of people. Sometimes people, well, the disciples. No, there was the 12, then there was the 70, and then there was many others beside that. There was a lot of people who first of all stayed with Jesus for that time and then took their time to prepare and organize and do all these things. And the thing that's spectacular gets the attention, of course, the multiplication of food, but it would have never happened without volunteers. Would have never happened without volunteers, without organization. Wouldn't happen. All right? Amen? Palm Sunday took volunteers. People had to go get the donkey and so forth like that. But parading him into town. All of these things take volunteers. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a volunteer. Hey, it's a volunteer army. It's a volunteer army. Ministry isn't about an offering. Ministry isn't about, you know, you can have some minister folks, if you want them to come, they got a contract. If I come here, every time I open my mouth is so much money. Here's the contract for me to come. They want so much money to do it. And I think, okay, I guess we don't need them to come. Ministry is serving. And we serve through the love of Jesus. That's the whole point of all this, serving with love. And when we do that, something special happens. God blesses our lives. Amen. And your life, no matter where you're at, you feel fulfillment like, thank you, Jesus. You know, you just feel like I'm doing what I should do. And you're not looking for all the accolades. You're just looking to Jesus. And the best thing that could ever happen to any of us is when we die, that nanosecond later, and he says, well done, you good and faithful servant. He won't say to me, pastor. He'll say, servant. Because the greatest thing in the kingdom is being a servant. That's the greatest that there is. Amen. So let's lift our hands here a second. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for the vine, that you're the vine, we're the branches. We thank you, you're growing in us this wonderful fruit of love and all the other fruit of the Spirit also. We thank you for what you're growing in us. We thank you that faith works through love and that, Lord, you're going to use us to do tremendous things for your kingdom, but through love. And through serving others. So I speak blessings on each person here right now. I thank you for touching their life. I thank you for touching their home. I pray blessings on marriages in Jesus' name. That you would minister to each marriage, Lord. That these marriages would be fertile grounds of expressing love, showing love, demonstrating love in Jesus' name. I thank you for blessing people, all that are in our church from other cultures even. That we can go out and serve others, bless others in your name, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your touch today. I thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit in us. We give you praise, Lord, for what you're doing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. All right, let's lift our hands one more time. I just pray the love of the Father, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the peace of Jesus Christ would be with each one of you as you leave today, as you go from this place. Thank you for your presence, Lord, going with them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. Let's stand. Shake about 7 or 8 hands. All right. Bless them in Jesus' name. Say thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. Thank you for getting up today. Hallelujah. We were up before 6 and it was wonderful. God is good.
Thank you for listening to this inspirational message. We trust that you were encouraged in your faith. For additional information or resources, please contact the church at 605-692-4616. You can email us at holylife@brookings.net or visit our website at holylifetabernacle.com. If you're in the Brookings area, please stop by to visit a service. We are located at 241 Mustang Pass, just off Main Avenue South. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., also Wednesday nights at 7. God bless you.